If you are experiencing a losing season right now, understand that there's a winning season around the corner. But you have to be an active participant in getting yourself out of the losing season.
Welcome to the Bedros Koulian Show.
What's the difference between me and you? Back when Q was rolling with Lorenzo in a Benzo, I was banging with a gang of instrumentals.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm Bedros Koulian, and this is the Bedros Koulian Show, and today we've got a great episode teed up for you. And by the way, if you get any value from this episode and I'm able to help you transform or change your life, do me a favor, if you're on YouTube, and like and subscribe. And if you're not on YouTube, you're listening to this on the podcast platforms, well, hey, thank you for listening, and if you can leave us a review, that would mean a lot for me, but don't do it yet. Make sure that I give you the value first. So let's get started. All right, so today I want to talk about how to fix your life. Maybe it's the whole New Year thing. Maybe people are more interested now in changing their life and fixing their life now that we're, 4 years out of the pandemic. I don't know what it is, but more people have been reaching out to me and saying, man, how do I get my life in order? How do I fix my life? And so I kind of started thinking, like, if I were going to advise a bunch of people on how to fix their life, what would I do? And I always go back to, well, what would I share with my kids? What do I share with my coaching clients? And then how do I fix my life when I have problems? And I realized that there's probably a story in this for you. And the story is, if you're a new subscriber, you may have never heard the story unless you've gone back and listened to my old episodes from like a year and a half ago. But I used to be a shitbag. I used to be a crappy human, and I did bad things to people, like carjackings and parting out cars and then selling those parts of those cars that we carjacked to auto body stores that then sold them to a consumer that got into a car accident and didn't want to buy those parts from the dealership that's more expensive. And that eventually led to robberies of homes. And one particular home that my friends and I robbed led to a helicopter chase. I was the getaway driver, and turns out there was someone in that home. We didn't case it properly, and karma is a bitch. And so when my friends got spooked out, when they realized someone's home and they were able to identify their face, my friends hopped over the wall. I was waiting in the truck as the getaway driver that day, and of course I took off. A few minutes later, there's a police helicopter, and this is Anaheim Police Department. So shout out to the Anaheim PD, because over a short distance, they pulled me over into a gas station, wedged my car doors with the unmarked cars that were also following me, and pulled us all out of my truck and laid us down on the ground, and then handcuffed us, sat us on the bumper of a police cruiser, and then probably about 25, 30 feet away was another police cruiser in that parking lot. And in it was the lady who was able to identify three of the four of us. She was unable to identify me because I was not in the house. And so three of my buddies ended up getting into a lot of trouble. I just went to the police station jail overnight and had my car repossessed, my truck repossessed. But guess what that led to? That led to a really bad phase of life for me. You know what I mean? That helicopter chase and that arrest led me to me stopping exercising, right? Because I just felt so shitty about myself. And just so you guys know, if you're new to watching this, every time I would do these bad things, I would feel massive amounts of guilt. I was just stupid and angry and bitter at life. And I was hanging out with the wrong crowd, and being an immigrant to this country and growing up in Section 8 housing, I had access to a lot of the wrong people. And I chose that path, and it was a really stupid thing for me to do. And since then, since I met my mentor, Jim Franco, about a year or two after that period, and I became a personal trainer, since then I committed to adding so much value to humanity so that I can reverse my karmic debt. So here we are I'm 49 years old now. So, gosh, 30 years later, and I get so much more joy and fulfillment from adding value and serving humanity than ever from doing that stupid shit. But the carjacking led to the police helicopter, nor not the carjacking, the what led to be a home invasion robbery. It was just supposed to be a robbery. You had a human in there, now it becomes a home invasion robbery. It led to a police helicopter chase. That led to me getting down and depressed and stressed out because now, like, I got to pay to get my car out of the impound. I've got to lawyer up, and I ain't got a lot of money, right? I just had like a side job. I stopped exercising because I start breaking my patterns. Then I lost my job because I wasn't really fully tuned in at work. And the next thing you know, I can't afford to pay the rent at the room that I was renting in an apartment with a friend. And after letting me go fly with no rent for 2.5 months, he's like, dude, you got to go. So I get kicked out, right? So now tail between my legs, I have to go back and live with my parents, right? And they weren't too proud of a son who was carjacking and doing robberies and getting arrested. And they're just like, where did we go wrong? Like, we brought this kid to America to have more opportunity and freedom, and instead he's ruining his life. And so that singular event that should have just been I had a bad day, maybe a bad week. If I can go back, I would have handled it very differently. I would have gone all in on exercising. I would have paid even more attention to the work that I do at my job. I would have made sure I paid my rent on time and said, this is a turning point for me. This lady was able to identify three of the four of us. I had a miracle happen where I wasn't in the house, so she wasn't able to identify me. And so I did not commit the robbery. I was just a getaway driver. And therefore, I just need to figure out how to get my car. It was a fucking 79 Toyota pickup. I could have just had that thing, like, given it up, right? Given it up and taken the bus. My point is, what was supposed to be a singular event, like maybe a day or a week of bad shit that happened to me, I drew out into a whole year, right? And if you had asked me, like, hey man, how was like a year later, if you asked me, hey, how was the previous year, I'd be like, man, it was the worst year of my life. The reason it was the worst year of my life is I took a singular event and I compounded the stupid shit on top of that. I stopped working out, broke my patterns, started feeling like a victim, like I'm the victim, like I'm the one that was the getaway driver, I'm the one that's robbing a house that doesn't belong to me. I'm the one doing stupid shit. Yet I felt like the man is trying to oppress me. The man is trying to get me. And then I lose my job because I can't focus on my job. I keep showing up late. And then I can't pay for my rent and I get kicked out. And now I'm like, everyone is out to get me. This sucks. And I fall into like a deeper slump of a depression. How fucking stupid is that? Now that happens with every single one of you because you don't realize that life comes to you in seasons. It comes to you with winning seasons and losing seasons. It's just a given. In fact, one of the best quotes I ever heard from Tony Robbins was this. He said, prepare for winter. Winter is coming. And I want you to be built for winter. And I thought that was such a powerful quote from Tony because no matter how awesome and amazing your life is right now, odds are someone's gonna die. Someone's gonna get in a car accident. You're probably going to get injured, hurt, or sick. Or someone that you love will get injured, hurt, or sick. There might be a financial crisis that takes place. Like, there is a losing season coming. Now, the biggest thing I can tell you is don't actively try and promote a losing season in your life. That's what I was doing when I was carjacking people and robbing homes. That is actively trying to create a losing season in my life. And then I'm shocked when all of a sudden everything goes wrong in my life and I lose my job, I lose my apartment, I stop working out, I get stressed and overwhelmed and anxious and depressed, and I'm like, what's going on? This sucks. The man's oppressing me. This year was shot. Shouldn't have been a year. First of all, I shouldn't have done that. Secondly, it should have been an isolated event that lasted a month, maybe two. Let's say by the time I get my car out and I finish up with like the attorneys that were given to me by the fucking great county of Orange County. But instead, I drew it out for a year and created more hardship and problems for myself. I sulked and felt like a victim. I was sulking and feeling like a victim as though something happened to me. So step number one is don't do stupid shit. I heard this quote before. I don't know who came up with it. It said, don't do stupid shit with stupid people at stupid times of the day because you'll get stupid results. That's what I did. I did stupid shit with stupid people during stupid times of the day, and I got stupid results out of it, right? So that's step number one. Don't create bad times. Don't create bad seasons for yourself, knowing that life is gonna create winning seasons and losing seasons anyway. So if you know that you're in a winning season, celebrate it. Do everything you can to maintain order, structure, and discipline to elongate that winning season. But know, as Tony Robbins says, that winter is coming. There is a losing season around the corner. And if you have order and structure and discipline in your life, you have routines, you have rituals, you have order, structure, discipline, when the losing season comes, not if it comes, when the losing season comes, it will be shorter in duration and not as severe in terms of impact. But the losing season is coming. And guys, I'm here to tell you that if you are experiencing a losing season right now, understand that there's a winning season around the corner. But you have to be an active participant in getting yourself out of the losing season. You can't do what I did back in the day, which is sulk and let the dominoes continue to fall by stopping the things that are working for you. Isolating yourself from friends, stopping your workouts, going back to eating shitty foods, going heavy on the alcohol and the weed to escape this bad season that you're in. All those things compound the problem and elongate the problem, add more time to the problem. You will stay in your losing season longer if you do those things. Instead, get even more disciplined, get even more structured, create even more order in your life. That is what I do today, and it works for me. It works for my coaching clients. It works for my kids. And I want to give you an example of this. You guys know that my left tricep tore when I was boxing with my son Andrew on May 20th of 2023. So we train every night together, and then afterwards we put on the gloves and we would just soft spar. I did feel some issues with my tricep, and I just thought it was tendonitis like for like a whole month previous to this, but I just chalked it up to must be tendonitis. Then when I went to throw a left cross, he went to check me and our fist collided and boom, my tricep tore right off the bone and it retracted. It retracted. So that's on May 20th of 2020. Now you also know that I love to work out. I've been working out and exercising for like some 30 some odd years now. It is as important to me for my mental health as it is for my physical health. Truth be told, it's more important to me for my mental health than my physical health because I am designed and developed, factory installed to self-sabotage and to go inward into the darkness. So exercising, working out consistently and getting after it every day, twice a day, is really good for my stress management, is really good for my self-esteem, and is really good for my mental health. I know that. Now with the torn tricep, I find that I can't do shoulder presses, I can't do chest presses, I can't do anything, any kind of tricep. Turns out your fucking tricep is also involved in doing pull-ups. I don't even know how a tricep is involved in pull-ups. I'm sure someone's gonna leave a comment somewhere telling me exactly how biomechanically the tricep is connected to the fucking back. Or maybe it has to do with the grip, but I can't even do a fucking pull-up properly, right? So I'm working with tiny little weights. Yes, I went ham on my legs, but I already have big legs. So my legs only got bigger and doing legs three times a week instead of just once a week, I started creating tendonitis in my patella tendons. So all this to say, May 20th, that happens. I tear my tricep and I'm doing the best I can in the gym, but I'm starting to fall into a bit of a funk, but I'm like, maintain order, maintain structure, maintain discipline, motherfucker. Now, July 23rd, we put my mom, I'm sorry, July 19th. So a couple months later, we put my mom into hospice. You guys know that for about 7 year period, she had dementia, Alzheimer's. This past July, we had to put her in hospice. We got her a home in-home nurse. We did it where she was gonna die in her own house with her family around her. And so now I got a torn tricep in May. In July, my mom goes on hospice. We know she's gonna die pretty soon. September 23rd, like a month and a half later, my mom dies and I'm right next to her. 3 weeks later, my son's best friend from first grade passes away. He was about to turn 18. My son's best friend, who they talk all the time, they play video games all the time. Andrew had told me how he started working out again and was interested in a girl and like everything's looking up for his friend because his friend moved from Chino Hills to Northern California. The family moved up there. That's where they're originally from. But Andrew and him stayed in contact. You can imagine how devastating that is for our family, for his family, for my son, Andrew. So now I've got a torn tricep that's fucking with my head. My mom's dead. 3 weeks later, my son's best friend dies, and we're driving to Northern California for a funeral. To say that I had a losing season is an understatement. I mean, the team members here in this room, there's four of them, like, could sense my heavy energy when I'd walk into HQ. Oftentimes, they'd come to me in private and be like, hey, dude, you okay? Everything all right? Anything I could do for you? It's like, nah, man, I'm good. I'm trying to get through this the best I can. I'm trying to maintain more order, more structure, more discipline. Like, I knew, I was fully aware that I'm in a losing season, and I could either slow down my workouts, loosen up on my diet, start feeling like a victim and sorry for myself, which is only going to elongate my depression and my funk, or I'm going to actively get after it, maintain as much order, be as creative as possible, keep structure, keep discipline, do not isolate myself. Even if I have to do, I was using 5-pound dumbbells for side laterals, doing 50 reps at a time, right? Like, that is embarrassing for me. I'm back up to like 25-pound dumbbells now. And the point of this is that when your body's falling apart, the people around you are dying, and you see your son wondering and asking and sad about his best friend, and you feel helpless. You want to bring that young man back. You see that young man's parents, and as a parent, you look them in the eye and you don't know what to say, and you fall apart and they fall apart. It was an absolute losing season this entire summer of 2023. But I knew that this is only going to be a season and not a year. I kept doing the idea of not doing my show ran through my mind. Let me just take a few weeks off. But what? I take a few weeks off from adding value? How selfish is that? So now I go inward. I have more time to go inward and self-destruct. Maybe I take some time off from working out. I go even further inward. Maybe I let myself eat shit and go further inward because now I'm disgusted with my body. Like, already muscle was atrophying. Why encourage it by putting on more fat? Right? But I knew there was a winning season around the corner. And I just knew that as long as I maintained order and structure and discipline long enough, and I didn't isolate myself, and I kept leaning into doing my work and being creative and adding value to humanity, that I would come out on the other side. And lo and behold, it almost seemed like one day, I was like, I feel a little better. I feel a little better. The next day, I felt even more. Next day, slightly better. Next day, holy shit, I think I'm gaining momentum. My workouts are getting better. I'm not falling apart and crying in my truck, thinking about my mom every day. My son's coming back around. He's talking to me about what happened. I'm checking in with him. He's doing better. Okay, I'm seeing hope. I'm seeing light at the end of the tunnel. Keep maintaining structure. Keep maintaining order. Keep maintaining discipline. Keep getting creative. Keep adding value. Because everything instinctive says stop everything and tend to your wounds. Feel like a victim. Sulk. Tell people how bad you're feeling. Just amplify the story. And all that does is elongate the depression, the anxiety, the fear, the lack of hope. And this is how a singular, or in my case, three events over a 5-month period could have compounded into an annual problem. And I could have said, man, the last couple years are horrible. So as I started to feel better, I was like, you know what? I've been meaning to start no-gi jiu-jitsu. I did a 6-week gi challenge many years ago, enjoyed it, but I want to try no-gi jiu-jitsu. And I kept telling myself, well, you know, my tricep's torn. I'm not going to get it reattached right now because I got a lot of speaking gigs. And so I can't start this thing. You know what? I'm gonna. And I found a great coach, a black belt, who was willing to come to me. Shout out to Coach Mike. Mike, if you're listening, shout out to you. I was like, man, I've got this torn tricep. It's like barely hanging on by a thread. If you are comfortable with training me and teaching me how to work around my tricep, I would love to start training twice a week for the next 6 weeks with you. And guess what? The first week or two, I had to baby it since I didn't know what the limitations were. Because like there's certain presses like pushing away from me that I can't do. But soon, I was like, all right, when he's teaching me like the Americana, like, oh shit, all right, I'm going to put that arm down. Push his arm down. Oh, I can't, not with my left hand. So I started using my forehead. He's like, hey man, consider using your forehead on top of your hand, right? So I started using my, because I don't have the strength yet. And all of a sudden I'm like, you know what? I can do this. And I started to compound wins. The order, the structure, the discipline that I maintained the best I could. I didn't feel good going to the gym those days, those months. I didn't feel good. I wanted to sleep in. I didn't feel good about waking up at 5:30 in the morning like I normally do, but I was like, do it anyway. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. Truth be told, I wanted to skip my workouts and justify it by saying, now I'm doing jujitsu anyway. But I know that I got to add jujitsu on top of that, not take something away that's already good for me. And so as I did, I started to almost feel like this weight come off of me. And all of a sudden people around me are like, dude, good to see you doing better. Like I just gave off a better energy. I forced myself. I became an active participant in pushing myself into a winning season. And guess what? As I'm rolling with Mike and as I'm rolling with some friends who are good at jujitsu, and I can actually see, oh wow, I could do an Americana there. I could do an armbar there. Holy shit, there's a Kimura that I could set up there. Like I started to feel confident about something that I was not good at. That gave me some wins. Those wins helped catapult me into a winning season. Like that's what life is about, guys. You have to understand that there's not a person out there that has just a consistent season, all losing seasons or all winning seasons. It's an ebb and flow. Life is about an ebb and flow. The more structure, discipline, and order you have in your life, the more you can elongate your winning seasons. And when the losing seasons come, you maintain order, structure, and discipline, and you can catapult yourself out of that losing season quicker. But that losing season does not have to be a year or 2 years. We often take something that should be a bad day when we make it a bad week. Oh, it was a bad week. Oh, fuck, it was a bad month. Oh, fuck, it's been a bad 6 months. Fuck, this has been a really bad year. Why do you elongate something? Go back to order, structure, and discipline. And when you do, you begin to catapult out of the losing season. I always say that only dead people have consistency in their life. They're consistently dead, right? The rest of us who are alive, we're going to have winning seasons. We're going to have losing seasons. And so you have to understand that. And when you understand that life is about seasons and phases, and if you're in the winning season, milk it. If you're in the losing season, do everything you can to be an active participant in catapulting out of it. And I get it. Some things are outside of your control, but I promise you this. There's more things within your control than you give yourself credit for. I get that some things are out of your control. My mom was going to die no matter what. That was out of my control. What was in my control is to make sure that I'm with her, to make sure that I visit frequently, to make sure that she has an Armenian caretaker, to make sure that my dad felt loved and heard and understood, to make sure that I could do everything I can to make my mom and dad, my family more comfortable as my mom is going to pass away. There was a lot of things in my control. And I think I've shared this before. During the season that my mom was in hospice from July to September 23rd when she died, every day I would leave Anaheim before coming home to Chino Hills, I would go and get a workout in at the Fullerton Gold's Gym. By the way, those of you out there at Fullerton Gold's Gym, you guys were so good to me. I appreciate you guys. And shout out to all of you out there at Fullerton Gold's Gym. You guys were super kind to me, letting me work out there. Each time I'd wanted to pay, like they wouldn't let me pay for the thing. And at least I could do is give them a shout out. But I appreciate that. But I would go and work out because I had to get all that energy out before going home. And so I knew that I had to maintain my order and structure and discipline. And that is the thing I want you to do. Because guess what my instincts wanted to do? I wanted to leave that house, my mom and dad's house, as I'm seeing my mom dying, right? And then I want to go eat something because I'm an emotional eater. The old pattern of me is emotional eating. And I wanted to go emotionally eat something, right? I wanted to like, Mel, maybe I can have a cocktail tonight and take the edge off. No, fuck, I stopped drinking November 12th. Can't have a cocktail. Like my instincts were to go back to the self-destructive patterns. my new habits tell me, and congruency and conscience tells me, stick to your order, structure, discipline more than ever. And I'm telling you guys, the more you do that, the greater you are going to extend out your winning seasons and the shorter your losing seasons will be. And that's important for you to know. This really is all about becoming anti-fragile, isn't it? Because what do we do then? So that if we know it's inevitable, we're going to have losing seasons in our life. What do we do to become anti-fragile? You ought to consider baking in hardships into your life. Like, do hard things. Regularly do hard things. I don't care if it's an ice bath every day or once a week. I don't care if it's going on a very vigorous hike on a daily basis. I don't care if it's challenging yourself to like what I do once a year, which is the Masogi, the Suckfest, where I'll hike the hills of Chino Hills from sundown to sunup. But I push myself through so much hardship. Like, it is not fun having a black belt methodically turn your body into a pretzel twice a week after working a long day and making multiple million-dollar decisions. It is not fun. But I do that because it's difficult. Because the things that I do in my life, I could bench, I can squat, I can deadlift, I can do pull-ups now, I can do all those things easily. It's now easy for me to do those things. Running companies and building companies and coaching people is easy. I can help anybody make millions. If I keep doing the easy stuff, when the hardship comes and I'm going through a losing season, I'm not going to be anti-fragile. If I want to be anti-fragile, I have to do the things that keep me in a state of discomfort. Training with Coach Mike twice a week, and then as people reach out to me when they see on social media that I started jujitsu, and they're like, oh, I've got a school out here in Agoura Hills. Oh, I've got a school there. Why don't you come and train with us? If you're traveling to Columbus, come and see us here. Hey, you're traveling to Austin. I see that. Come and roll with us there. Dude, that is pretty fucking intimidating for me because I'm not good at it yet, and I'm rolling with different body types now, and I love it so much after, but going into it, I'm like, oh, shit. It's a different body style than Mike's. I'm not used to that. And as I started to get more comfortable with that, I'm like, all right, what Mike taught me works, right? I can find a position that's uncomfortable and get comfortable in it and think about what I'm going to do next to either get into a better position or to see if I could find an opportunity for a submission or to just stay alive until that fucking timer rings. Hey guys, quick interruption to the Bedros Koolian Show. I want to remind you about the Trulene Wellness Shot. I created the Trulene Wellness Shot because I wanted a product that was going to help you boost your immune system and fight off inflammation in your gut, in your joints, in your body so that you are healthy, you don't get sick, and you live an awesome life. Trulene Wellness Shots have these 9 ingredients that are going to absolutely help fight off inflammation and boost your immune system. Vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, ginger, turmeric, echinacea, B12, cayenne pepper, and black pepper. And every single packet is checked for heavy metals because our ingredients are top quality and we use nothing but top quality because we cut no corners. So you can use my name, Bedros, at Trulene.com and get 50% off your Trulene Tribe subscription. You not only get 50% off your first order, you also get free shipping. You get a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee so that if you don't like the product for some reason, which we have yet to meet anyone who don't like the product, we will give you your money back, no questions asked, and we will shake hands and part ways as friends. And of course, $1 of every order goes to Shriners Children's Hospital, which is a hospital system that I've been helping and supporting for over 12 years. They provide medical procedures, medical services, surgeries to children whose families can't afford these procedures. So go to Trulene.com, use code word Bedros, join the Trulene Tribe, you get 50% off your first order and then 20% off your recurring monthly orders after that. Back to the show. And when jujitsu gets easy and comfortable, I can't imagine jujitsu would ever get easy and comfortable. They call it the gentle martial arts, but I've got more bruises and more aches and pains. And every night, Mike, I feel like I've been hit by a truck like the next day after we roll. But they call it the gentle martial art. And I love it. And when it, I'm not going to say gets easy, but when it gets less painful, and when it becomes more predictable for me, I imagine years down the line, I'll have to keep finding newer things that are gonna challenge me and put me out of my comfort zone. and make me anti-fragile, knowing that the losing seasons are inevitable. I will probably hurt some other part on my body. I will tear another muscle. Somebody will get sick. At some point, my dad is going to have to pass away. Like, there's more losing seasons scheduled to come in your life and my life, my friend. It's a fact. You're either going to become anti-fragile by building in and baking in hard things. Those hard things don't all have to be physical either. You know, the number one fear that people have in life is public speaking. Go and do open mic. Do open mic night at your local tiny little comedy club. Go sign up at Toastmaster and learn to speak. Go take an improv class for 6 weeks. Like, it doesn't all have to be physical. You want to do something physically really cool? Do my 6 week marathon challenge, right? Go to bedroskulian.com/challenge. It's free for you. The entire training program for 6 weeks, the nutrition program for 6 weeks, and 6 weeks of motivating and inspirational videos from me. I give it away to you guys at bedroskulian.com/challenge. All you have to do is find a local marathon that's 6 weeks out and sign up for it, and then just follow the training program that's for free for you. And if you don't want to pay for a marathon, then take your car and drive 13.1 miles and then drive your car back home 13.1 miles. There's your 26.2 miles, which is a marathon. Train for 6 weeks, and 6 weeks from now, do that entire path. There's your marathon. Like, it is going to be uncomfortable to train for 6 weeks and then do a 26.2 mile marathon, even with the same training program that I used when I did my first 6 week challenge, which was the marathon challenge. But man, every week you're like, fuck, I did week one. Fuck, I did week two. Look at me, I'm a champion. I did week three. Holy hell, week four feels easy. Is this me running 10 miles? The first time, like, I got flat feet like a fucking platypus. The first time I ran was like, the coach had said, you're going to walk and jog 1 mile. Like, jog for a minute, walk for a minute, jog for a minute, walk for a minute. The next day, my hips, my knees, my ankles, everything hurt. My lower back, everything hurt. I got flat feet. And I was like, well, this isn't going to work. But then, as my body compounded the running, next thing you know, I'm running 3 miles, 5 miles, 6 miles, 8 miles, 10 miles. And when I ran into my neighboring city, Diamond Bar, and I saw the sign that said, welcome to Diamond Bar, a 13-mile run, about 5 days before the marathon, the San Diego Rock and Roll Marathon. I was like, holy shit. I started tearing up. My legs got me into the next city that I would normally drive into. Like, what a great feeling of conquering my greatest fear at the time, running. Because I'd never run. I told myself and convinced myself that God has created me to be strong, to be jacked, to lift weights. I'm not built to run. Think how many times you've said to yourself, I'm not made to do this. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. That intimidates me. And all you do is you reinforce that. As humans, we are so pliable. As humans, we are so capable. And the more hard shit you do, whether it's cerebral, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, right? Like, you want to do something hard? Go 6 weeks, twice a week, with a good therapist. Go find a really good therapist. There's nothing physical about it. It is emotionally so fucking hard. 6 weeks, twice a week, and you will be a new human. I promise you. You will have so much self-discovery. Self-discovery. Like, your ego will die. Your confidence will soar. You'll have a better understanding of the human animal that runs this machine that we are, and how to deal with your feelings, thoughts, and emotions. And there's nothing physical about it. It's all emotional work. So I don't care if you're going to do jujitsu. I don't care if you're going to run a marathon. I don't care if you're going to do 6 weeks of therapy, or if you're going to do stand-up comedy, or you're going to learn to write a speech and deliver a speech at Toastmasters. Whatever it is you're going to do, you must have baked in events of hardship in your life, so that when the real hardship comes, the losing season, you go, aha, motherfucker, I am anti-fragile. I have experienced so much hardship by default that I will stick to the order, the structure, and the discipline that I have by maintaining all of that, and I will catapult into a winning season soon enough. That soon enough might be weeks, it might be days, it might be months, but you will go back into a winning season. And when you do, you will maintain your order, structure, and discipline so that you can elongate and enjoy that winning season. And guys, that's the magical formula. So if you want to try something hard, you want to become anti-fragile, go to bedrosecooling.com/challenge and do the marathon challenge. And then when you do, you cross that finish line, take a selfie, tag me on Instagram, and I will share it. And be sure to always bake in challenges into your life. Don't just do one challenge and think you're now anti-fragile. Just bake these in, knowing that the seasons of life will come, and no matter it's a winning season or a losing season, the next season is just around the corner. Guys and gals, thank you so much for watching this episode of the Bedros Koulian Show. Remember this, that average is the enemy. Success is your responsibility, and change will take place in an instant when you decide to flip the switch. I'll see you next time.
What's the difference between me and you? Back when Q was rolling with Lorenzo in a Benzo, I was banging with a gang of instrumentals. We'll be right back.